today has established himself as a premier songwriter and performer in the Texas music scene for the past several years. He has toured with his Front Porch Family Band and has brought his blend of kind of country Americana rock to the music fans, and those fans are taking notes of this up-and-comer. His influences are wide-ranging. He grew up listening to everything from traditional country to punk rock, and that diverse music background really shines through on his recordings. He just released his sophomore album, Corners, on Lightning Rod Records, and it's a pleasure to welcome to Notably Texan, Dalton Domino. How are you doing, Dalton?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I am fantastic. Where in the world are you today?
I'm at home in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, okay. Very cool. That's close to my heart, because that's where I'm from, too. So, listen, Dalton, why don't you do this? Tell me a little bit about your early years and kind of where you lived, because I believe you have moved around a little bit, haven't you?
Man, I've moved around all over the place. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee. From there, I moved to Biloxi, Mississippi, and then from Biloxi to Las Vegas, and then Las Vegas to Dallas, and then Dallas back to Memphis, Memphis back to Dallas, Dallas to Birmingham, Birmingham to Lubbock, Lubbock to Stephenville, Stephenville to Abilene, Abilene to Stephenville, Texas.
Oh, goodness.
And Stephenville back to Dallas.
Wow, you've got the bit of the wanderlust then.
I do.
Well, that's cool, but Lubbock has kind of brought you back over the years, though, hasn't it?
It has. Growing up, I never did really have a hometown. I guess Memphis or Dallas, but Lubbock is where I'm from. It's definitely the place that I felt the most at home, the people there and the bars, the music scene. Yeah, it's just a great town, man. The college up there and Texas Tech and a lot of nothing out there. It's great.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it's so different, honestly, than where you are now. I mean, Lubbock is drastically different from Dallas, I would say.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I hope that you're able to handle all the trees and landscape where you are now as opposed to that that flat land out there in Lubbock.
Yeah, I like the trees, you know. There's nothing better than, it sounds so cliche, but there's nothing better than a really good West Texas sunset.
Right.
Sounded lame, but it's something just absolutely beautiful.
Dalton, were you exposed to a lot of different music in your youth?
I was, man. You know, I grew up a lot listening to rock, and the louder, the faster, the better. And I was skateboarding a lot as a kid and in my late teens and stuff. So we grew up going to the Vans Warped Tour. You know, my dad listened to a lot of metal music and hair metal, and Van Halen is Eddie Van Halen's a god in our household.
Right.
You know, then again, my grandmother listened to nothing but gospel music. My mom listened to 80s pop and funk music. I discovered country music or folk music when I was in college. And, man, just a whole bunch of range of stuff.
That's cool. No, I really appreciate that, because that's sort of what we are all about on this program, is playing all these different styles and don't believe in just building up those genre barriers.
I love Turnpike Troubadours. I love Randy Rogers, you know. There's a guy named Red Shahan who is absolutely phenomenal, and a guy named Charlie Shafter, and then Ray Wiley Hubbard. I listen to those bands quite a bit, but I don't literally listen to too much Texas country or too much radio. I listen to a lot of records. Love Drive-By Truckers. I love the Distillers.
Nice.
I love Social Distortion and stuff like that. A lot of heavy stuff.
I can hear some of these influences in your own music that you're making, so that's awesome. Was there a kind of defining moment in your life when you decided to turn to music and songwriting as an outlet?
Yeah, man. I broke my arm when I was a kid, and I was held up in my bedroom for a summer because I couldn't go outside and skateboard. I had a really bad elbow break. All I have is a guitar, and the way it was my left arm that broke. The way I was in my cast, I could kind of play music, and you know, that was when I really just kind of sat down and dug into it. Music's always been around. I always had a guitar in my hand. So I got pictures of me as a baby with a guitar. You know, I've always been around music and a musical family. I'm the only one that can play. I got an uncle that can play, but
okay.
I've always been around music. It's the only thing I've known. I remember the first time I listened to Charlie Shafter and Ray Wiley Hubbard and decided to move out to Texas to play music. It was a defining moment as a to figure out this is what I want to do for a living. I mean, it's just always been there.
Yeah.
That drive has always been there.
You're pretty much getting to live your dream then, because, you know, some people can kind of, you know, fantasize about that early on, but not everybody actually gets to make a living doing that. So I would hope that you feel like you're living your dream then.
Man, it's awesome. You know, there's a lot of a lot of time when people were like, you know, it's stupid. I had, you know, relationships fail. You know, I had a tough time with my parents, and they finally came around and were really supportive. Chasing this dream, it took a long time, and it took a lot of weird looks, but, you know, I surrounded myself with people who were kind of doing the same thing and made friends with them, and, you know, I'm absolutely grateful to say that, you know, what I do, it's, I'm not rich by any means, but it, I put food on my table, and that's good enough for me, man.
We are both getting to do something that, you know, we won't tell anybody, but we would pretty much do it for free, I think. So that's
absolutely,
that makes it not hard to get up and go to work, as it were, when you're getting to do something like what you and I are doing. So
yeah, the internet's great and everything, but you know, when my mom first heard my songs on the radio, or my grandmother heard my first songs on the radio, they were kind of like, you know, all right, well, let's look into this. This is kind of cool. And,
right.
You know, I wouldn't have a job. I mean, that sounds super cliche as well when, you know, people say, I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for these people. But, I mean, radio has, that's a big deal. You know, I don't think you guys understand the power that you guys hold with musicians and songwriters. And I'm grateful for y'all. For
with,
sure.
With great power comes great responsibility, so we do our best we can here. Dalton Domino is checking in from Dallas here today. And, Dalton, I got your debut album back in 2015. The album is called 1806. Now, don't confuse those. It's not a year, actually. It's actually a reference to an address, if I'm not mistaken. But
it is.
I was pleasantly surprised, though, when I got that album in because, you know, being a Texas music program, you know, we get stacks of just kind of straight ahead to Texas country coming in all the time, and some of it can be very cookie cutter, you know what I mean? Some of it can very sound very samey and just kind of, oh boy, here comes another sort of bland album. But that was not the case. I was pleasantly surprised to find all these different sounds within that album 1806. I mean, there's everything from kind of straight ahead country to blues and Americana, and I even hear some sort of soul and rock and jazz sounds creeping in. So that was like a very Lubbock-centric produced record, wasn't it?
Man, I was out there living and playing music, and I started that record when I was 22 with John Taylor. He's the guy who produced the album, and we had nothing but Lubbock cats on the record. Those songs, there wasn't really a purpose behind the record. You know, as with Corners, it had a theme, and it had, I guess, a purpose behind it. It was just a collection. 1806 was kind of like a collection of songs that we had written over the course of playing out there. We cut it in Lubbock. Lubbock players played on it, produced by a Lubbock guy, Lubbock. So,
Yeah. Well, it is really a phenomenal album that still stands up pretty darn good here today. I still refer to cuts from that here on the show. Many folks have heard me playing music from that album, but I want to spin a cut from the album 1806. Let's listen to this tune called Bell of Breckenridge. It's one of my favorites from the album. And this one's got some great Texas references in it. I love those in the lyrics. I wondered if you had any comments on this track, Bell of Breckenridge, before we play it.
Man, I wrote it about a girl from Breckenridge, Texas. It was an LJT summer romance. I met her at Larry Joe Taylor's Texas Music Festival. She was a radio DJ down there, and we dated for a few months. She's doing good now. We're still friends. And about a girl named Erin from Breckenridge, Texas. And it's a story about a summer romance.
I was 23, you were pushing 19, but you poured out 21. Pretty as a bird, and you swore like a sailor, and knew you'd be my own one. You were the belle of Breckenridge, holding my
the changes, Dalton, that you've made in your life is it's kind of cleaning up your act a little bit, so I don't mean to sound like such a dad or something when I say that, but
yeah,
I wanted to kind of congratulate you for doing that and ask you how sobriety has kind of helped you as a performer and as a person.
I stopped being, I guess, an a-hole.
Gotcha.
For unnecessary purposes, you know, for unnecessary reasons. I got rid of all the weeds in my head, man. And it's made my mind a lot more calm. I couldn't do music if I wasn't sober, if I kept going back to how I was living, man, I was losing everything, dude. I lost a good relationship with a good woman. I've almost lost a relationship with my family. You know, my band hated me. And I was losing it more than I was gaining. And that's how it was personally. I cleaned my stuff up, and I'm still, you know, cleaning up my side of the street thing. And, you know, but as a musician, there's a period of time where, you know, I was kind of like, how am I going to do this? I'm not drunk. How am I going to be the center of attention and entertain people if I wasn't drunk? You know, people say that we're artists and we're songwriters and we're this and we're that. When we're not, man. We're just glorified beer salesmen. That's all we are.
Well,
we really are.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Well, it's true. You know, if you can be, you know, Bob Dylan all you want to, but if Bob Dylan doesn't put asses in the seats or doesn't do money at the bar's not going to have you back. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
And that was a hard thing. And then, you know, I got over that, and I realized that, you know, I didn't really need that to perform. But then I, you know, struggled with the thing of how am I going to write. And that took a lot of really bad songs for about 3 or 4 months of just writing every single day. And then I started digging in and writing this album. I had a whole album written. It would have been a sex record in Texas, you know. I mean, I had some catchy songs on there, songs about love and having fun. And, you know, I sat back at one point when I got the fog out of my head, and I was like, is this what I want to be saying? This is really cliche. Everybody's already saying this. I wanted to write something that I guess might help somebody.
Yeah.
Or get out, you know, selfishly help me get rid of some fears that I had. So I wrote Corners, man, and it was a really big sigh of relief, you know, cleaning up and getting these songs out and everything. And
congratulations, because that really is an intimidating thing to even consider doing. But, you know, really is great to hear that you have, you know, made a turn and things are going better for you. So, and thanks for opening up on that. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, man. It's been nothing but good. There's nothing that has been bad since I gave all that stuff up.
Well, good for
it's
you.
Been good.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
That is a great story, and keep at it. So you were talking about this new record, Corners, and this really has you kind of crossing into some new territory for reasons that we were just talking about here. But
absolutely.
Not only are the lyric topics kind of new territory, but some of these tracks are highlighted by some kind of different sounds than what was on 1806. I feel like some of them are a little more heavy on the horn and string sections, and your voice sounds really refined as well. So, I mean, other than the kind of change in your lifestyle a little bit, what did you do differently when you made this new album, Corners?
You know, I did the whole Lubbock thing. I wanted to try something new, you know, but we went down to Dripping Springs and we cut it with a guy named Nick Jay and Jay Saldana. But what we did differently was, for one, I sat down and I picked up an electric guitar. That first record was more acoustic based. Here, I have a guitar. Here's some songs. Let's build around this guitar. While this record, we went in and kind of built it around the band. We all sat in a circle and banged out these songs. Another cool thing about this record is, man, we didn't use any digital instruments.
Really?
Everything you hear on the record is they came in the studio and they cut. Like, we had a guy, like the string section, you
uh-huh.
know, that was some people who worked for Disney. Like, if
okay.
you hear the string sections on Disney movies, they did that. The horns were not, I mean, they were real horns. Everything was legit. We just had, like, a lot of really cool gear. We did actually use, on a lot of the record, we used Lenny Kravitz's AC-30 Vox, which is incredible. Like, Lenny's actually, like, his aunt. So
you were really, yeah. A lot of this sounds like you were really doing some kind of throwbacks to the way music was once recorded, as opposed to the modern age. So much is done digitally.
This record's actually on tape.
Oh,
you
really?
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm nerding out right now, but I haven't had the chance to talk about, like, the actual production of the album, which I think, to me, is cooler than the record itself. Got to use all this really cool stuff. So.
No, I love, sorry. I can hear the passion. It's great to hear you get so excited about it and geek out about the music production. I appreciate you explaining that.
Fun. I like this. This has been my most fun interview all week. So.
Nice. Well, let's.
I like talking in depth, and it's not like, you know, so where are you from? What are your influences and things like that?
Right, now hit the road.
Actually getting to talk to somebody.
Yeah,
so,
I get it. Well, thank
really
you.
Lonely life.
I understand the feeling. I think we're both getting to connect with each other here. So I understand that you prefer to songwrite from kind of personal experience as opposed to just sort of making up some of these stories.
Man, I can't write stories. I'm not a really big co-writer. I know a lot of people in Texas. Like, okay, so I have a friend of mine named Will Green.
Yeah.
He's an artist in Texas, William Clark Green.
Yeah.
And he's an artist around Texas, and he plays. He's kicking ass and taking names. He's awesome. He loves to co-write, and him and Josh Abbott like to co-write. And they're really good at it. I'm terrible at it. So saying that, like, I have two songs on the record that were co-writes. One because I was trying it out with Caitlin Butts, and that song's called July. And then the second one was because it was a story song, and I can't write story songs at all. So I had to call Charlie Stout, who's the best story writer that I know of. He's a poet. He's incredible. But yeah, I can't write. I'm not good at them. I have to write from experience and are writing metaphors. I write about three things: killing people, saying I'm sorry, and sex. Those are the only three things I can genuinely write about.
Well,
I'm not good with happy I love you songs. I'm terrible at them. I'm good with breakups because that's all I've had in my life. Women don't really stick around with songwriters, and at least the young, when you're young, you get lucky and you find a wife, but I'm just not good with stories, man. Like, I do like a lot of like rambling and writing that aren't lyrics and stuff like that, like different ideas for stuff and journals. That's my main thing.
I gotcha. Well, no, that's really cool to hear, because every songwriter does it differently, and that might be interesting for people to know when they're listening to your songs, that these tend to be pretty much true stories for the most part. You know, don't hold them to every word necessarily that goes into a song, but that's pretty fascinating. As I have mentioned to you, I'm the kind of guy, and this is the kind of show where I don't always necessarily pick out the big smash single from these records, because they're playing those on the commercial stations, you know what I mean? But I like to get into some of the deeper cuts, so I wanted to play this cut More Than You. I thought this was one of the standout
awesome
cuts from the record, which maybe they're not playing on the other stations. So More Than You, anything we need to know about this one before we hear it?
You remember how I said that right about three things?
Yes.
Well, this isn't a breakup song, and this isn't a hey, I'm sorry song.
Okay.
The other thing.
The other thing. Gotcha.
It's about a good one night stand.
All right.
I'll be your idle hand if you be my sin. I'll be the flame that draws you in. Just call me pain. I'll call me.
So we're a listener-supported NPR station here. I was hoping that, Dalton, maybe you could talk for a little bit about public radio and what it does for rising stars like yourself, and why it's important to support your local station. That was one of those three-pronged questions like they use in the press corps.
Absolutely. It's not about rising stars. Yeah, what you guys do for us is great with public radio. But it's not for people like me. Yeah, it gives people like me a chance. But here's the thing about putting money into something. When somebody funds something, they have the choice to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. You're an employee, and you basically, you can't do anything. You're at their will. I really support public radio because it's publicly funded. You know, it's up to the listeners. I listen to NPR. I don't listen to Fox News. I don't listen to CNN. I like BBC, but I listen to NPR because it's not ran by somebody other than the public. It's a really scary thing when we reach the point as a society where everything's owned by somebody that's not us. I like NPR for one because they play stuff you can literally play anything you want to, and you don't have to stick to like some really sucky Clear Channel station or some top 40 iHeartRadio stuff. You can actually play stuff like me, like friends of mine that would never get played on top 40 radio. And that's for rising stars, whatever. I'm not a rising star, dude. But you guys can also play like Bright Eyes, Monsters of Folk, anything with the Saddle Creek Records. But as a news publication, I cannot stress to people enough how important it is to be informed, with what's going on. And pulling funding from public radio and public broadcasting is absolutely insane. It's absolutely asinine. It's absolutely stupid. I fully support public radio more than a lot of other people, just because it's one of the last true broadcasting, forms of broadcasting that's not bastardized. It's not touched. So please, please, please go to your local stations, figure out what you can do to help them out. Keep public radio going, keep public broadcasting, keep public TV going. It's a very important thing for us, not artists, but as people. It's a very important thing. It's going to be a really bad thing if it ever goes away.
Where can people find you online and keep up with your tour dates and such?
Just DaltonDomino.com. Go there and they'll have a link to everything.
Man, I really have had a blast doing this. I wish that I had talked to you all those years ago when I first discovered you. So let's not keep such a long stretch between our next talk. I'd love to have you come into the studio, especially since you're in Dallas. Maybe I can get you.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm Commerce is what, like an hour away?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to do this again, man. I have fun talking to you.
Awesome, man. Well, the feeling is mutual. And since we've got this impending weather today, I'm going to play you out with one more cut here from Corners called Rain. Thank you, man. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And good luck with everything, because you definitely deserve more attention. So I hope that keeps coming your way, buddy.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much, man.
In this picture, we were strangers, just like we are now. Before that tornado brought it onto the ground. This was before Amarillo, before the winds came, before I talked you into taking my last name. Now we're standing on the wreckage that we once called a home, asking if the pieces that once made us up are really gone. There might be miles in between them, might not ever fit the same. But if this storm brings you